to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. This morning we'll be looking at verses 13 to 14. If you're using your pew Bible this morning, you can find that on page 1032. So the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. Those who find it are few. Let us bow our heads and seek the Lord's blessing this morning. Our gracious God, we thank you for these verses, and as we continue to look at the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew, we pray, Lord, that you would take the lessons learned here and inscribe it upon our hearts and minds by the power of your Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you would bless my mind and my mouth, that I may think and speak clearly this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we have been moving through the Sermon on the Mount, as we've been looking at the Gospel of Matthew, we're coming to a section here, what you would call Jesus' final point. It's the entering into the final section of his sermon, and he's bringing home kind of the teachings that he's been talking about and what now faces those who have been listening and those that would hear his message. And as he enters into this final stage of his sermon, it can be divided into four parts, and each part gives a division between two choices. You have life or death. The scripture passage that Jacob read earlier from Deuteronomy, Moses set before the people life or death, blessings or cursings. You're supposed to choose. And as we look through this, the two verses that we have here this morning, and then in the coming weeks, the other sections, as Jesus begins to develop this point and drive it home, we're going to see that really that is the simple truth, is that there are two choices that we have to make. There is either life or there is death. This world would like to say there are many gray areas that you could choose between. But no, Jesus says there is life or there is death. You choose him or you choose death. And so as Jesus enters this final section of his sermon, he gives a teaching on entrance into the way of life or entrance into the way of destruction in these two verses that we have. And the theme that we're going to be looking at in these two verses is that apart from God, we cannot see and we cannot find or walk the path of life. That apart from God, we cannot find and we cannot walk the path of life. We'll be looking at it in three points. The path to destruction is wide and easy to walk. Secondly, the path to life is narrow and persecuted. And lastly, we can only find and walk the path of life by the grace of God. So first of all, the path to destruction is wide and easy to walk. We find this in verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. In the Greek, there's an alternate reading of this verse. There are some older manuscripts that have the word gate here completely absent. And so it would just be the way is broad and the way is wide that leads to destruction. Not really mentioning a gate that you would actually go through. But there are a lot of manuscripts that have it like here, and that's why we have it in our scriptures, because the vast majority of them do have that word and mention a gate, a wide, broad gate. What this means is that there's a possibility of a couple of ways of applying this and looking at it. The first of all, if we remove the word gate and we take that interpretation, the teaching that we have there is that we enter into this life already on the broad way. There's not really a choice that's been made, but we are all on this broad path, all on this wide way that leads to destruction. And there is then a narrow gate and a hard path that is supposed to be found along that broad way at some point. Or, as the common picture that many of us have seen of the interpretation, the artistic interpretation of these verses, where there's a beautiful wide gate on one side, and then there's this tiny little gate on one side that's unattractive. But then if you look beyond the gates, you can see this wide path that's winding and it's heading down, and there's a raging volcano or fire at the end of it, whereas the other one, it's small and it's winding, but it goes up to glory. And the imagery there is that the person is standing there and he's looking at both gates, trying to make a choice. So you have either, there's a starting, everyone starts out on this broad way that they're living in this life, and they have to somehow turn aside to the narrow way, or you've got the idea of a person standing in front of two gates and having to make a choice. Well, if we consider, you know, in the Sunday school hour this morning, we read through and looked at Ephesians chapter 2 and 3. It starts out, you know, Ephesians chapter 2, that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. It's a condition in which we started out in. And that seems to be the overall prevailing picture that Scripture gives us, that we start out opposed to God. We start out, as Paul mentions, we are naturally children of wrath. There's not a period of a time to where we're kind of neutral and then have to make a choice. It's something that we're conceived in, as David calls in the Psalms, I was conceived in sin. It's something we are born into. It's our natural state that we enter into. So I'm leaning towards that other and minority interpretation, to where that the word gate maybe isn't there. And it's just speaking of that broad way that we're all born into and we're walking down in this life that is leading towards destruction. It is leading towards destruction unless we somehow find that small, narrow, unattractive gate that leads to the hard way of life. The picture here that Jesus gives of the way that leads to destruction is kind of like a broad highway. It's wide, it is spacious, and you can easily, you know, kind of go between the lanes, and it seems like you have a lot of freedom and joy. You can go fast, traffic is moving quickly. There's nothing impeding you or stopping you, and you're enjoying your time as you're driving along this wide and vast expanse of road. But as we consider Christ's analogy and what he says about this broad way, that it is wide and it is easy, I think we all know those who have not accepted Christ as their Savior. We can look at the world and see those who are outside of the covenant community of God. And we can see that their life does not seem to be easy. There are those who seem to have an easy life, but there are many that don't, and that life seems quite hard for them. And yet we know at this point in their life that they're on that broad way. So how do we reconcile that with what Jesus is saying here? How is it for those who may be suffering in this life and yet are still opposed to Christ and not a part of the church and the covenant community, have not professed faith in Christ? They may have a hard life, but how do we then reconcile that with Christ's teaching here that their way is easy and wide? Well, I think simply we could think of it in this way. It is that as those who are walking along the wide and broad path, what makes it easy regarding any circumstance is that when we are on that path, we get to pretend to be God. We get to pretend to be God. We get to make up our own rules. We get to make up what we want to do. It's a majority rules. We get to set our own agenda. You know, that was the first temptation as Satan came to Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, did God truly say? And he deceived them in saying, no, God knows that once you eat this fruit, that you will be like him. You will be like him. And that was the hook that ensnared Adam and Eve. They wanted to be their own God. They wanted to release the easy shackles of life in paradise without sin or misery or wickedness, and pursue their own way and be their own God. Now, I smiled there as I was talking about Adam and Eve falling, because it hit me the kind of ridiculousness. How heavy was God's burden in the garden? That we would have made the same choice as Adam and Eve, given that circumstance, that situation, trying to be our own God, trying to set our own agenda, to live our own way. In this way, I believe, the broad way is easy. That is what Jesus is referencing here. And in the world's eyes, it does seem like they have some type of freedom, doesn't it? That's what Psalm 2 talks about. Why do the nations rage? And what do they say? Let us cast away his fetters. Wanting to cast away God and live and do as they please. That is how the way is wide and is broad. It gives an illusion of freedom to set our own way, to set our own agenda. But ultimately, as Jesus makes completely clear here, is that that way, although broad, although seemingly easy, although seemingly filled with some measure of joy and fulfillment in this life as we're pursuing our own way, our own desires, it leads to the fires of hell and eternal destruction. They get to enjoy this broad, easy way, but it leads to eternal damnation. And so he says that the way is broad, it is wide, it is easy, that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. Then he moves on in verse 14 to compare then the way of life. This is our second point. The path to life is narrow and persecuted. The path to life is narrow and persecuted. Now, opposed to the wide and the easy gate, we have here in verse 14, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Now, the word here translated as hard, that gives a nice parallel between the wide and the easy path that leads to destruction versus the narrow and the hard path that leads to life. The word hard there could carry with it the idea of persecution. So it's not simply an idea of the way is much more treacherous and hard and a struggle, but it's actually there's persecution involved and great hardship and turmoil. One way that I began picturing this is as you consider the Lord of the Rings series, and especially the first one, The Fellowship of the Ring. And the Fellowship of the Ring, they're traveling across the lands to get to Mordor to throw the ring in the fire. And there's a wicked, Gandalf's counterpart, can't remember his name. Anyway, wicked sorcerer that is like
Sauron.
There you go. And he's wreaking havoc on this Fellowship of the Ring, causing problems, trying to thwart them. And at one point, they're climbing up this mountain, and he is somehow sending this incredible tempest that is just bringing this horrific blizzard upon them as they are climbing along this mountain path. And you can tell, though that's snow-covered, that this path is quite small, it's quite narrow, it's quite hazardous. And you see Gandalf leading the way. He's got his staff. He's trying to make a path, and the little hobbits are usually on the back of the men trying to get up above the snow. And at the last straw, before they turn around and have to go back another way, is that this huge avalanche comes down and lands on top of them and just buries them in the snow. That's the type of imagery that I have here of the narrow road that Jesus is talking about here. It is hard, it is narrow, and it is persecuted. That there are those that would see those on the narrow way and seek to destroy them, to trip them up, to cause them trouble. So it is a hard path. It is not easy. And this flies in the face, brothers and sisters, as what we have popular in our culture today of the prosperity gospel that we see preached so often. Every once in a while for fun, I just kind of like to flip through some of the channels on TV. where some of these preachers are and just listen for a little bit, and then I get very nauseated and I have to just turn the channel. But they preach that if you do such and such, and usually if you give a certain such and such to us in particular, that the Lord will pour out his earthly blessings upon you. That the Lord will build you up and raise you up and give you abundant peace and prosperity here in this life. And that's not what Jesus tells us. In fact, later, well, in the Gospel of John, you know, as I've referenced before, he says quite the opposite, that if you follow me, that your life will be hard. It will be difficult. There's a cost to discipleship. We must pick up our cross and follow after Christ. The world will hate us and despise us because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Here he says, the gate is narrow and is hard. It leads to the path of life. So, although the two options that we have here, the wide, easy way, which ultimately leads to destruction, we have this unattractive, rocky, hard, persecuted, probably overgrown path to the world's eyes. But it leads to life. And it leads to eternal glory. This leads us then to our third point. The way of destruction is warm and inviting. The way of life is hard and persecuted. And the only way to find this way of life, the only way to walk this path, is by the grace of God himself, by his grace alone. We see here again in verse 14 that the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And then he ends, and those who find it are few. Those who find it are few. Now, as we look at these verses, and Jesus is, as he's drawing his message to a close, is putting before his hearers the two options before them. There is destruction, or there is life. In which way are you going to choose? But it's not simply about a choice. We have to consider, as the language of a way and a path that speaks of a journey, a long journey. And even if we are on this broad, wide, narrow gate as we begin our way, as we begin our life, how do we find then this small gate? How do we find this narrow gate? How do we walk this path? Well, we find the narrow gate by the grace of God himself. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, we read in verses 44 and 45, these verses, that no one, this is Jesus speaking, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. How do we find this narrow gate? As Jesus referred to himself and called himself that he is the way, the truth, and the life. How do we find this narrow gate? Well, the Father has to draw us to that gate. The Father has to draw us to Jesus Christ himself. And that word there, draw, is not, as some have said in the past, a kind of wooing and enticing that God does of, please, you know, come and give your life to Christ. It's the same word of, I'm sure you've heard before, of that in the Old Testament, in the Greek version of the Old Testament, the same word here, draw, is used of when water was drawn up out of a well. And that's a great imagery of what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 6, verses 44 through 46. It's that no one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws him. It's not the picture of enticing. It's the picture of an empty bucket being forcefully lowered down into the water and then forcefully drawn back up. The bucket can't do nothing on its own. Can't make no choice of its own We cannot stand at the top of a well and say to the bucket, please, please go down and get water and come back up. We can't entice the bucket to do that. It has to be lowered. And it has to be drawn back up. And that is the imagery of Jesus here that he is giving of how we find this gate. As we all travel along the broad way that leads to destruction before Christ came into our life, we would have continued on that path unless the Father had taken us by the shoulders at the right time and said, here, there's the gate. Go through it. The only way we can do it is by the grace of God. But not only can we not find this gate apart from the grace of God, we also have no ability at all to actually walk and live this path apart from the grace of God. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 8, there the Lord says through Moses, keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Keep my statutes and do them. There's a command there to follow these commandments. But then immediately after that, the Lord says, for I am the one who sanctifies you. Now, as we consider sanctification and growing in Christ's likeness, which is really what that big word sanctification means, is that we're growing in Christ's likeness. We see that outwardly as we follow the commands of God, as we obey His word, as we put His word to practice in our life, and we see that change in our life. But that isn't what really sanctifies us, is it? That's just an outward display of following after God. The reason we're to pursue the commands of God and to pursue Christ's likeness is not because we will attain it on our own strength, but because it is the Lord who sanctifies us. He is the one who is working within us. He is the one who is guiding and directing us. He is the one who will mold us into the shape of Jesus Christ and give us life. He is the one that not only shows us the gate, He is the one that takes us through the gate, and He is the one that takes our steps along the hard path of life until He comes again and removes the broad and wicked way completely. And so, brothers and sisters, you know, apart from God, we cannot find or walk the path of life. Jesus here, in these two simple verses, as he's beginning the close of his sermon, he's teaching us clearly about God's election of his people. He's teaching us about his sanctification of his people. He's teaching us about the preservation of his people. And just these two small little verses and this simple contrast between the way of life and the way of destruction. Jesus teaches us that it is God who works within us, taking us away from the broad, wide path into the narrow path. It is he who gives us the strength to plod along. And is he who will finish that good work that he has begun in our hearts. Jesus says in these verses that many walk the broad way of destruction and that few find the path to life. It's a sobering thought, isn't it? That many walk the path of destruction. And a few find the path that leads to life. But although we have that sobering teaching here, we can take great comfort in these words, knowing that if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, that this is not your doing, as Paul also points out clearly in Ephesians chapter 2, but it is the work of God. It is the gift of God. He is the one. If you have faith in Christ, if you have professed faith in Him, if you confess Him as Lord and believe that God raised Him from the dead, you will have eternal life. This is God's work in you. He has enabled you from the broad and easy way to see the narrow gate of Jesus Christ. And He has given you and taken you through that gate and is now giving you the strength to walk that hard and that persecuted path. Because if you have placed your faith in Christ, you have and can be sure that you have entered through that gate, that you are on the hard path of life. Now, like any hard and strenuous path, there'll be difficulties, there'll be hardships, there will be pain, there will be turmoil, there will be hurt. There may be even times where you wonder, am I actually on this right path? But Jesus says that if we have faith in Him, we can be positive that we have entered that gate. We are on that path of life. And we can know that God will continue that good work and bring us along that path of life to enter into that great, glorious presence that awaits us. So, brothers and sisters, apart from God, we cannot walk this path or find this path of life. But thankfully, it's not up to us. It's not our responsibility to resurrect ourselves from death so that we could find this path. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And if we have believed in Jesus Christ, we can be confident that we have entered that gate and are walking that path, that the Lord will preserve us and bring us into His presence in that great and glorious day when He comes again. Amen. Our gracious God, we thank You, Lord, for these words. We thank You, Lord, for the paths that You've set before us, to life or to destruction. And Lord, as we are all born as Your enemies, we are all born naturally as enemies of God, children of wrath. We praise You, Lord, that You took us, and You, Lord, showed us the gate. You showed us the narrow gate, and You brought us through that narrow gate, and that You are now, Lord, leading us and guiding us and giving us the strength to walk this narrow path to life. May You, Father, uphold us and give us strength as we, Lord, seek to be more like Jesus Christ, as we seek, Lord, to follow after Your laws and Your commands. And may we take great comfort, Lord, in knowing that it is You who sanctifies us. It is You who is at work within us. And we praise You, Lord, for this marvelous and wondrous work. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.